But when you have a loving relationship between both of you, needing money is no big thing. My wife always was hitting me up for money, and I gave it to her. And it was not in exchange for no sex either. I didn't marry a prostitute. Let's get that mentality out of your mind. Well, what you gonna give me if I give you that? Oh, my goodness. Hey, I've heard it too often. See. So, gentlemen, don't be threatened by the success of your wife if she's out there in the marketplace of ideas. And let me say this again. I know too many conservative Christian males that would try to slam their wife down and keep him at home, get them to quit the job, Altman, because he has a hidden agenda. He can't function. His ego is so depleted that he can't function. Hey, if Lucy was making $150,000 compared to my $30,000 a year, I'd still be living in the high. Because I'd be living off that money. I'm not going to go out there and try to get me 3 more degrees to pass her up. I know some men that try to do that too. Oh, I have to do this in order that I could be beyond her in doing that. No. Also, guys, you can try to take her away from being herself. You can't try to take her away from being herself, guys. When she says, this Saturday, the staff is having a picnic at the thing over there, and I'm supposed to bring the potato salad. You can't tell her, no, I want you home with me. Why? Well, because Pastor John says that you need to spend some time. No, you're wrong, brothers. You're wrong. That's not the way that works. You know she was planning that event for 4 weeks. But here again, that's a power play on your bed. That's why the arguments start. Because, guys, you got a hidden agenda. Well, I got to show her I'm in charge. What's this? You can't take her away from being herself. Quiet as kept, you knew that she was like that when you married her. Now why are you trying to change her? Leave her alone. You knew she was like that when you got with her. I know this kind of conversation doesn't seem like what you hear, because when you go to some of these fundamentalist churches, they're going, you know, man, they got. I'm telling you, don't let these people string you out. Your marriage will be going up. And I remember we had a guy, a teacher in the church, and he used to teach some of the young men. And I would teach from the pulpit pastoral sermons. And this guy, Will, he would get him in there. Foolish guy. He would get him in there. And well, I know what John say, but I say. He had never been married. And I remember the gal that he married. This gal was liking me. I mean, it was terrible, just terrible. And so I told the guys, I said, don't listen to somebody that is trying. See, when you're trying to be what you're not, I've never tried to be that, guys. I've always been who I am. And the older you are, you can see the young guys trying to be that. And they have no way of knowing how to get there, but the way that you get there is you let time take you there. Time is the greatest teacher of all, because time will educate you in the things of the world. That's why I said never look at somebody else and try to mimic your married life after them, because you can't do that. Can't do that. So don't try to take her away from being herself. Gentlemen, you've got to know where you begin and where she begins. In other words, you got to know where you are at every given moment within the relationship, and you need to know where she is in the relationship. A lot of guys only know where they are, but they don't know where she is. And you hear them say, I just don't understand women. Right, because you haven't taken the time. You haven't taken the time. You're so concerned about yourself that you are not concerned about her. See, and that's wrong. You can't do that. Now, so you got to know that. What else? What else? What else? She would say to you guys, don't try to control me. Yep. Just like I'd say to the women, don't try to control the husbands. She would say, don't try to control me. In other words, gentlemen, you can't dictate her behavior or deny her autonomous identity. She does have somewhat of an autonomous identity outside of you. Her identity is not just in her husband. I know what the evangelicals teach. The evangelicals teach you that her identity is in him and his identity is in the work that he does. Yeah, right. No. That woman has her own identity before she marries you, gentlemen. And that identity is not going to change, and it is autonomous. She knows she's married. She knows that she has an obligation to you to a large degree. But at the very same time, she is autonomous in certain areas of her life. Guys, the ladies want someone who will allow them to be who they are. Now, I didn't say to be that rebellious, repulsive, obnoxious, hateful, resentful, challenging, berating, illiterate, debauched, cursing, manipulating individual that women can be. I didn't say that. What I mean by allowing them to be who they are, allow them to be who they are. Now, I'm not talking about outside of Christianity, who they are within the faith. I'm trying to think of some examples. My wife had a very good gift of hospitality. Whenever we were going to have an event at the house, or people were coming over, you dare not say anything to my wife about it. She was the cook extraordinaire. I have a friend of mine, Elsie, and every time we talk about Lucy and the way it was in the house, he said, man, there never was a time that I could come by with any of the fellas when she wouldn't have trays of food just waiting for us on the eating counter. I'm still in the same house, and I have that eating counter there. I'm going to have to show you guys a picture of it one of these days. I find one where it was full of food, but Lucy had the top level and the bottom level of the eating counter full of food. That was her gift. That was who she was. For me to tell her not to do that would have been a tragedy. In other words, guys, you can't tell your wife what to do or what to wear or who should be her friends. That's not your role, gentlemen. Though some of you think it's your role. No, she is not your slave to bend at your every beckoning wish. She is not your slave. That is not what it's all about. Though, like I said, some of you think it is. And I know that some of you Christian men operate like that. No, she's not that. You don't tell her what to wear. I sure enough didn't tell my wife what to wear. When I was first dating her and we were going out before we got married, she had on a very short dress. When we went to the movie theater downtown L.A., can you believe that? That's when they used to have those great theaters downtown L.A. I picked her up in my little white 63 Corvair Chevrolet, and we went to the movie theater, and when she sat down, the dress went way up over her knees, and I said, nah, I don't wear that again. Not because it didn't appeal to me, but because other guys were looking at her. And I said, nah, don't take the hem out of that. She didn't argue back with me. But I meant, I don't tell her what color to wear or who should be her friends. My wife had a couple of girlfriends that I didn't necessarily care for because the gals didn't care for me. But I didn't tell her to change her friends. because I wasn't threatened by that. Some of them tried to influence my wife against me. I just laughed. I said, yeah, right. She would tell me what they would say. And I just told her, tell them I said hello. See, no threat to me. I've always been that kind of a guy. Guys, don't let a woman that is a friend of your wife get you knocked off track on how you're thinking in your world and in your life. Now, the above characteristics, if the couple are Christians, is under the biblical guidelines of a man being the head of the relationship to love. In other words, if you're not following the biblical guideline, no, there is no expectation that I expect you to keep here. I expect you to be at each other's throats day and night. You should consider her needs, guys. Consider her needs. So therefore, guys, you can't be self-centered. Oh, my goodness. I know some guys like that. You can tell a self-centered guy. It was interesting. I was at church yesterday, and a lady came to the church that used to be a member of our church years ago. She's now married, and her husband visited another church in the town, and she was driving a pretty nice car. And I said, well, that's a nice car. She said, yeah, my husband has one like you. Guess he has a Lexus 430 and the two-door coupe. And I said, well, and she said, yes, but he bought me this. But yet and still, when we're with the kids, he wants us to all ride together in my car. Why didn't he get a car? You see what I'm talking about? But he did consider her. He's not self-centered because he bought her a pretty nice four-seater. See, you've got to think about what is best for the woman at times, guys. You're not to be thinking about what's best for you, but you got to think about what makes her happy. All right? Ladies want men to pay attention to them. That's why they say, how do I look? Do you like me in this? Don't lie. Tell the truth. If you don't like them in that, just, I would prefer you to put this on. Okay. And something else, guys, you may not believe this, but a woman wants her sexual needs met by you, her husband. Not by a TV entity. Not really. Not by some secret, strange mental partner, but they want that need met by you guys. You guys are the ones that's supposed to meet that need. And if you need more counseling in that area, gentlemen, give me a call and I'll help you out. Other than that, I don't say anything more than that because I don't get involved because I don't know what you and her like, whatever you like. Marriage is honorable and all, and the bed is undefiled. That's the way I look at it. Mm-hmm. Time in bed is not just a time for the man. The man is there for her pleasure also. Not just she is there for the man's pleasure. That's another evangelical lie. Well, just present yourself to your husband. Present yourself to your husband. Just be there for him. You're his helpmeet. You're his fulfillment. Just lie there. Just be there. What if, no. She wants to get some pleasure out of you too, guys. For herself. Ugh. Sometimes evangelicalism can become so rigid. And that's why our marriages are falling apart. Now, let's do this. Since I just finished with the guys, have a little fun here. Do you work on yourself, and either if you're male or female, are you working on who you are on a daily basis? Are you working on getting yourself together on a daily basis as a married team? Have you developed periods of introspection where you look deeply into what you've done, what you've said, how you've carried along the relationship? Have you tried a little tenderness instead of answering too harshly? Are you gentle with each other? Have you stopped respecting your partner? Or do you always respect them and give them that? Do you believe in each other the way you did when you first hooked up and got together? Or have you let the love flames burn out? You know, and these are good questions to ask yourself. I think they're excellent questions. Have you thought on these things that made you fall in love in the first place? Because the things that made you fall in love are the things that are lasting. One has put it this way: if you really love me, you would understand what I need. But the reality of that statement moves me forward by saying my partner is not a mind reader. I've got to learn how to verbalize my needs. See, it sounds good when you said if you really love me, you would understand what I need. But at the same time, what you have to do is you have to discuss what your needs are with your married partner. Are you willing to do that? That's what it's all about. Now, it's up to you to share these lessons of intimacy. Each of us, on an individual basis, have to analyze each aspect, and then be very real in answering certain questions. This aspect of our lecture series does bring a little anxiety, but at the same time, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a picture up that I have, that I did, kind of like a collage of me and Lucy on our wedding reception day. The looks on both of our faces as we were engaging in a life of 34 plus years of marriage. I think I'll put that up there for you. Well, gonna end a little early this time. Next time we're gonna start in some deeply embedded statements on marriage, asking you some questions. Hopefully that you and your wife can answer together as you listen to it. Thank you for tuning in. This is Pastor John in the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California. 20 hours of marriage counseling. We'll continue next time.